Testing. Let's bow head in prayer. Dear Lord, we ask you to continue to speak to us through your Son's resurrection and ascension. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. First of all, I just want to thank you, Sister Joyce, for contacting me earlier to ask about what I'm going to speak on so that her songs can and the worship can be integrated to the worship services. I think the content of the songs fits very well, you know. So what's our foundation of 全心全意全力来跟随你而不放弃? It's something that I want to touch on today. Okay, so today's passage is a very important part of the gospel, and it marks the end of the Jesus' earthly ministry, and it also marks the beginning of a big Jesus movement, which will be in Acts. So Luke is part one, and Acts of Apostles is part two. All right, let's enjoy this passage together. If you all can turn to it. Okay, Jesus appears to the disciple. While they were still talking about this, Jesus stood amongst them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled, frightened, and thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you have seen I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while still did not believe because of joy and amazement, he said to them, by the way, do you have anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I've told you while I was with you. I know everything must be fulfilled. And that is written about me in the law of Moses, prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scripture. Then he started our Bible study. Okay, he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And the repentance of forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Jerusalem, okay. You are the witness of these things. You are the witness of these things, okay. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from high. So my title for today is, Why Are You Troubled? This is the question that our risen Lord has asked his disciples. It is a very strange question, given the fact that he is there, physically and bodily amongst them. It is like he's sitting right here with us, maybe in front of the space, Tan Xian, right? And he's there, and you can actually stretch out his hand and touch him. And if he's here, maybe he will ask you the same question. Why are you in trouble? Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Also, a related question to this is for you this morning is, to what extent do we actually believe in the resurrection of Christ? Don't answer it too fast because you've been a Christian for a long time, but really think about it, you know, what's the significance before answering that? Because there's a big difference between telling yourself that you believe in God and versus the willingness to put the whole weight of your life to trust him as your Lord and your Savior. I mean, a rock-solid belief. And the conviction is true. That's different between saying that you love someone versus you making a decision to marry him or her. So my faith in the resurrection do affect how I think and how I conduct my life. without the resurrection, right, Jesus will be like any wise man, like, you know, like Buddha or Confucius, like any great leaders, like Mao Zedong, even our ex-Prime Minister Lee Kuan Yew. Their works and life and their legacies inspire me, but they are gone and never to be seen again. We benefit from them, and we hope that they will come back to us. But the reality is that we need to move on. We need to find the next generation leader. But if someone tells me that he's going to suffer, 3 days later, he's going to be risen and be back with me, and he did, and that is totally different. So what does Jesus mean? What does this mean for us in reality? Our culture is manifested by what a author says, though, a persistent burden of insecurity and anxiety. We're insecure of our job, we're insecure about safety, we're anxious about health, anxious about children's future, and anxious about our children's future. And this is not only applied to adults who has to bring bread to the family, who has obligation to mortgages. It applies even to teenagers. A shocking encounter with my friend last week told me that his daughter is traumatized. Why? If you all know that, you know, his daughter Isabella's friends, the track and field friends, two of track and field friends, you know, were found dead below the block of Toa Payoh flat, block 143, Lorong 2. What happened was that these friends of hers, you know, hold hand and jump down from the 26 stories. My question is that, wow, not only adult does that, these children are also troubled. And where are the hopes? Obviously, they have find no hopes. And that's the end of it. Yeah. So this infection has also reached our church, or church at large, right? Maybe the root of it is we have a loss of real confidence in the reality of the resurrection of Christ and its consequences. We have lost the power of knowing the power of Lord, you know, in changing life for others as for ourselves. That's why we have so much difficulty starting Xingfu Xiaozu, right? Which is hopefully starting a movement of bringing friends and guests to let them experience and be shared about the gospel of God, you know. But there's so much hesitancy, there's so much anxiety, there's so much trouble, because we are not confident. Will our friends like it? Maybe we have lost the confidence. So in the midst of our themes of sharing God, Chuan-sen, so today is the passage of how God can transform the minds of their disciples. So they started off startled and frightened and doubting, and moved to a mixture of, and then you will see the progression. They started off startled and of doubting and frightened, then moved to a mixture of disbelief and a joy of amazement, and at the end, they were rejoicing, praising, and worship their life, and their life will never be the same again. Okay, so before I look at the slides, I have, in the COVID days, I've followed the series in Netflix, The Roman Empire. A bit backwards, not crash landing on you, but Roman Empire, a bit boring. Yeah, but it's nevertheless an exciting serial. And I think every episode will start with a recap of the last episode, right? The intro, and which we will then skip, right? So this is what happened before we reached today, okay? At this stage, it is the culmination of Jesus' 3 years of tumultuous ministry. He traveled down to Jerusalem, arrived on a donkey, subject to a sham trial, condemned to death by both religious and secular authority, sadistically tortured and cruelly crucified. And then he was laid in the tomb. That on that Friday, all was quiet. On Saturday, some of the women, as we know, went to the tomb and found the rock was actually rolled away, and the body gone. And angels was there meeting them and said that, you know, the rice has risen. And then they ran back and tell the disciples that, hey, the Lord is risen. And none of them believe a word of it, of what they have said. So Peter went and investigated. While two of them, you know, on the road, while they're on the road to Emmaus, you know, the Lord met them, spoke to them at length, you know, and before they dawned on me, it was the Lord, you know, I met him. Then they rushed back to Jerusalem, by which Peter has also seen Jesus. None of them know what to make of it now. And they were just sharing notes, okay, comparing their stories. And what happens was this. While they were talking about this, Jesus stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. And they were startled, frightened, and thinking that they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? What is their state of mind now? Okay, it was scared, it was startled, it was troubled, it was doubting. None of these words are positive. Despite the fact that not long ago in verse 34, if you flip back, you know, they were talking to one another. The Lord has risen. I mean, they knew that he's risen. But when he actually appeared to them, they were still in a state of shock and doubt. And they have heard this before, right? So have we. Yeah. Their hearts in the turmoil, they understood it maybe cognitively, you know, but at the moment, they didn't know what to make of it. So their life was full of trouble. And Jesus doesn't want them to be in that state for long. Okay? So what did follow was Jesus did four things, you know, to change their thinking. He wanted them to go, maybe he wanted us this morning to go through the exact same process. Maybe you believe in the resurrection because maybe your parents told you so. Maybe your Sunday school told you so. Maybe you have in the past, but no longer. Maybe you have some, but not totally. And maybe the confidence of that has ebbed away under the burden of life and the onslaught of our unbelieving culture. You know, whether your own state of mind might be, try and put yourself today in the shoe of the disciples. So exactly, what exactly did Jesus did to them? First, Jesus totally affirmed the reality of his body resurrection to them. Okay? So, while they were still talking about this, is this here? While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. They were startled, frightened, and thinking that they saw a ghost, and he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Now, look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. So just look at him. Look at me. It is I, myself. Okay? Touch me and see me. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I have. So when he saw this, and when they saw this, and he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they are still not believing it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it before them. So what you see here is Jesus is giving them the full work, the full evidence. This is not some kind of a spiritual hallucination. Right? It is a total bodily and physical resurrection. Flesh, but blood and bone, you know. His renewed and resurrected body may look a bit different because obviously the disciples didn't recognize him initially. But he is truly alive today. Okay, he stood there in front of them. He spoke to them, and they have heard him. He showed him his wound in his hand and invited him to touch him. And maybe some of them did. Yeah. And there's no mistaking it. Jesus raised body from the dead. How could he make it even clearer? And now the thinking of the disciples started to change. And they were no longer frightened, but they're not 100% sure. They did not believe it because of joy and amazement. All right. So it's now has not totally negative. Now it's amazement, right? Their minds are still torn. Joy in one hand, but doubts in the other. Could this be true? They are not fully committed, you know, without reservation of what they've seen and experienced. Okay. Come June this year, Ken and I will be celebrating our 27th anniversary. We chose the date very well because always in June we have our Muren. No, we have our Liu Hao Yi Zan, our church camp. And during the camp, you know, the whole church will be celebrating for us. Nice. Yeah. So it brings back to the time when we were engaged, right? You know, to me, that was quite a scary moment. There was so many uncertainties, right? So some of the questions I asked myself is that, will she be able to fit into a three-generation family? You know, my ama was mini. And then she's channel 5, I'm channel 8 in nature. You know, and what about my dreams to climb Mount Everest, which was true. I was in the Mount Everest team, you know, then. And can she relate to my mother, who is now... then and going to be her mother-in-law and her principal in school. Okay, very complicated, you know. And this marriage is going to bring this to the whole new level. Okay. Now, this is scary, but it's also quite exciting, right? But it will completely change the ship, reshape my life. And this is exciting. So this is maybe what the disciples are going through at this point of time. Scary, scared, as well as excited. But Jesus brought them a bit further. If someone can advance this for me. Okay, so Jesus tell them these events were affirmation of the fulfillment of the scripture, right? So Jesus said to them, verse 44, this is what I told you while I'm still with you. Everything must be fulfilled. You know, that is written about me in the law of Moses, prophets, and the Psalms. Now, all these, the law of Moses, the prophets, and Psalms, made up of the scripture there and then at that time, right? They have, okay? Jesus said through the Bible from the beginning, and he is written about anticipating arrival for hundreds of years, and now the time has come. You know, this written about him, the town has come, and then there's no stopping it. Okay, and God's salvation to the Jesus Christ the Son is driving forward to its climax. Benjamin Franklin, founding father of USA, right, once said, "There's only two certainties in life: death and taxes." I want to add one more certainty in life. That is what is written about Jesus. That his resurrection is to be fulfilled. It is unstoppable. What is supposed to be a long process leading to the fulfillment of suffering, death, and resurrection, God's plan and purpose, even before time may begin, repeatedly written in the scripture, is unstoppable. God is driving this whole thing to a destiny. So this is the second thing that Jesus did to them. First thing, you know, to share with them full evidence that I am bodily resurrected. Secondly, is that all this that you have seen is a fulfillment of the scripture. And the third thing is, Jesus opened their mind to understand the Bible. So this is like verse 45, right? Then Jesus opened their eyes so that they could understand the scripture. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and repent for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, this seems like the part two of the Bible study lesson, right? So part one, you know, he was doing this Bible study. You know, you look at the few verses in the front, right? It was with two disciples on the road to Emmaus. It was a famous story, right? He said to them, you know, after Jesus has been chatting them for a while, they are still blur. Right, and then Jesus said to them. Finally, he said, "Hey guys, why are you so foolish? How are you so slow to believe all the prophets have spoken? Did not the disciple have to suffer these things and enter into glory? And the beginning of Moses and all prophets, he explained to them that what was said in all the scripture concerning himself. So this was the first before the actual appearance in the room, right? And then you know suddenly their eyes were then open." You know, and they recognized him, and somehow they are so shocked that he disappeared they disappeared from them, they didn't even know, right? And they ask themselves, they look at each other and say, wow, our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. Have your heart been set burning when you read the scripture? I knew for a fact that one of our brothers in Sinantang did that in a very strange way. So he was in poly, and the friend shared with him in Christ, didn't relate to that message too much. Then one day, when he opened the Bible himself, read the Bible, I think it was John, or I can't remember, he told me it was one of the gospel message. He was so moved, and he was so burned, you know, that he quickly rushed to the restroom and turned on the tap and started to baptize himself in water because he was so excited about news. Okay, has your heart been burned, set burning because of the scripture? Maybe it's a question that we ask. And if we have not, maybe we should ask God to share with us how to understand the gospel, right? So Jesus, there are two things going on here. Jesus is supernaturally opened their mind so that they could see what they otherwise are blinded to. It's like, you know, I always thank God for glasses, and especially now contact lens and now progressive lenses. You know, otherwise I couldn't read very well. I can't play the tennis that I like. You know, with them or putting on contacts, I can see everything. Okay, the fact is that whether I see you clearly or I see you in a blurry image, the objectively you are there. But having the glasses made everything clear. I think Jesus, and that's what Jesus did. Jesus gave them the supernatural wisdom to be able to discern what's in the Bible. And we have asked God to give us that ability. Yeah. Number four, so Jesus shared their full evidence that he's physically resurrected. Jesus told them that all this happened because of the fulfillment of the gospel, the scripture. Jesus now opened their eyes to the gospel, filled their mind with spiritual riches. And he said in this thing, there's three things that he mentioned, right? You know, it's about, you know, his death and resurrection, the gospel and repentance, and forgiveness is his name, and the proclamation of gospel to all generation. So this is what he's also telling them. Okay. And the fourth thing that Jesus did was he made it very, very clear that how all this thing will pan out. So he's given a four next thing. Okay, so you are the witness of this. So you're telling Jesus, you are the witness of these things. I'm going to send you to what my Father has promised, but stay. So this is a specific instruction now. You stay in the city, Jerusalem, until you have been clothed with power from high. When he has led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted his hand and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So he's actually telling them what is to come and very specific instructions. I'll just continue with the Netflix, right? So end of every episode, there will be the next episode, right? Telling you about what's going, a preview of what's coming next, right? This is what Luke is trying to do, right? Giving a short preview of what is to come in part two, which is the book Acts of Apostles. Yeah. And the spread of the gospel for forgiveness of repentance. It is the beginning of this big Jesus movement. Jesus is very clear on how the gospel is going to be spread. Yeah. And he told them, it's going to be spread to the witness from their witness to the end of the earth. So these guys will be given a mission, and he is, because of what they saw, they're going to be witness to the end of the earth. By the power of Spirit promised by the Father that Jesus will send, there will be a Spirit coming to empower you. Okay, and with the blessing of Jesus, before Jesus ascended, as he ascended to heaven, he raised up his hand and blessed them. It is like he's saying that he will be ruling from heaven. He will be with them in the Spirit. He will go with them in this great adventure of faith and spreading the gospel to all nations. So he has all this all panned out for them, right? So this promise is very important. A few years ago, Kat has took a break on, MOE has this development plan, and he has arranged to visit Geelong Grammar School in Melbourne. So about 45 minutes away from Melbourne, there's this school, this grammar school is quite famous for their research and implementation of positive education. So I was, and he was spending there. The school finally accepted her. The date was a bit short. So she said, can you go with me? I said, I'm busy. No, please go. You know, so for a long time, she was like, you know, struggling. You know, she was like, how do I get there? You know, it's away from Belmont. Where do I stay? You know, how do I get from where I stay? You know, the Airbnb to the grammar school. So there's a lot of things that was concerned. And she likes a bit of certainty. And finally, I managed to clear my schedule and say, yeah, I will go with you. And me deciding to go with her was a big relief. I can see physically she was lightened up. Really? Well, I love you. And suddenly you can see the burden lifted from the shoulder, you know. And then she was just suddenly very happy, you know, preparing for the trip, you know, knowing the certainty that I will be there with her. Okay. And Jesus promised to be with us all the way. I'm not saying I'm Jesus, but that should give us tremendous confidence and joy. And Jesus reminds us that, and my favorite quotation, which I've learned from when I was in secondary school, is that we can pray about this. Jesus, please remind me today, there's nothing today that you and I together cannot overcome, right? So, all these, all of us who had our eyes opened, and we have seen Jesus is alive, raised bodily from the dead on Easter, we are caught in this same adventure as those first disciples. They started off feeling subtle, frightened, troubled, and doubtful. And what is their state of mind at the end? Then they worship him and return to the Jerusalem with great joy and hope. And they stayed there continually at the temple, praising God. It's an extreme, right? From trouble to joy and stay there ever praising God. Well, Jesus shifted the troubled and doubtful state of mind of their disciples from one of doubt and doubtfulness to certainty and joy by doing these four things, right? You know, proving that he's bodily resurrected. That showed them that all these are the fulfillment of the gospel. It's nothing to be surprised of. It's going on, you know. Open their minds to the scripture and finally made it clear on how this all worked out, right? Now that joy and praise, then certainty of that solid resurrected Christ, and everything that followed from it was so powerful that it turned the world upside down. And we know it did. And 2,000 years later, we are all still feeling the impact. So strongly that our lives too are being turned upside down because of Christ. Our lives too are filled with worship of Jesus, the joy in the Spirit, and the praise to our Heavenly Father for this wonderful good news. Now, with the assurance, we can let go of the persistent burden and anxiety that we face. We can take hold of our risen Lord and be filled with the persistent purpose, hope, and security with a continuous rejoicing in the Lord. Let's bow our head in prayer. Lord, thank you for the risen Christ and that today we are together with him in this adventure of life. Help us to see our trouble, our anxiety of life as a lesson to be reminded that to draw close to you, that when you, that all this you have all planned out already and this is unstoppable. And going to comics for one day when we all see you together. So give us strength and assurance and hope and purpose in whatever we, all the challenges that we face. Bless us in Jesus Christ's most precious name. Amen.